coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who every night brings you a strong and steady stream. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are live after Wednesday night's Power of Veto. We didn't get a ceremony. We got a competition. Lot to talk about. Very funny episode tonight. And lots going on over on the live feeds as well. We'll talk about it all here tonight. First, let's welcome in a man who always has his eye on the feeds. Not always on the latrine. It is the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. I'm just contemplating how long I would need to sit in silence on this podcast for you to drop the real info.
Yeah. All right. Fine. I'll tell you what's really going on. We got a great guest, Taryn.
And okay, good to know.
Very excited to have back with us here tonight the amazingly talented and hardworking and extremely funny Rachel Swindler is here. Rachel, how are you?
Boom. I am great. I am so happy to be here. You guys are always so much fun and you're so funny. And I listen to you guys all the time, too. So I am always excited to be back on Rob Has a Podcast.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying it the correct way. Finally, nobody ever says it the way that it's supposed to be said.
I'm here to finally do that for you. You're welcome.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Rachel, how have you been?
I've been good. I mean, a lot's changed in my life. I now currently live in Louisiana with my Elvis singing tribute artist boyfriend.
Yes.
So, who has three children. So I am basically a step girlfriend. That's what I like to call myself. So just a lot has changed for me because when the pandemic hit, it was just, I lost all my jobs. Mm-hmm. And I basically packed up my life and just came here. And then paid rent for Los Angeles for a year. Mm-hmm. And then went back, packed up my life, came back here. And now I'm just kind of sitting pretty, doing some work over here and doing some performing work with my boyfriend now. He's got some shows coming back. So I back up sing for him. And so I'm just kind of trying to work on myself, save some money. And who knows where I'll be in another year at this point.
Wow. Rachel. Okay. Well, that was a wild ride.
It was. I've had a lot of
genuine updates.
Yeah.
I gave it. Yes, I did. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, if you think that's bad, wait till you hear about Taryn's move. Okay.
Wait, have you moved too?
Yeah. Everybody did.
Well, yeah. Rob moved.
Nobody's where you left us. Yeah. But anyway, Rachel, really glad that you were able to make some time and talk with us here tonight. We always love to get to talk to you about what's going on in the world of Big Brother. Of course, we're live here tonight. We will be back again live tomorrow night to talk about everything that happens in our eviction. I think you won't want to miss that on Thursday Night Live after the episode. Okay. Rachel, just big picture, what have you made of Big Brother 23 so far?
You know, I mean, it's been really, really good. I have enjoyed the very strong gameplay. The intelligence, these people are so intelligent, which, you know, again, I'm not talking bad on my season, but it seems like in other seasons, we've seen like maybe half the house know what's going on and half the house not know what's going on. It seems like as a collective,
was definitely in your season. Yes.
Yeah, my season, but it just seems like we're dealing with very intellectual people who know how to play the game of Big Brother, which has never, I feel like that it hasn't happened in one complete season before. So even the people that maybe don't know what's going on, I mean, maybe I would eliminate maybe like the first 4 weeks, maybe Whitney didn't really know what's going on, but, but it seems like just everybody's so smart and playing so hard. And it's really entertaining on a gameplay level this year.
Okay. Taryn, what'd you make of the show tonight?
I don't know about you, Rob. I thought this was an amazing episode. I mean,
there was
this
a lot
was,
there.
This was great. I mean, from every aspect of it, like the gameplay was there even from the start, even before the veto. The funny segments were really funny. The veto was like ridiculous, but pretty funny. And also dramatic and good. And then what an ending, a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Did you mind that they didn't have the power veto ceremony? I feel like did we see this past season in Big Brother Canada?
We see it. We rarely see it, but it does sometimes happen. I think, yeah, I think maybe they did do it with maybe like the Kiefer situation, but I'm not sure. But what I've been critical of cliffhangers in the past for other shows. For Big Brother, I think it works, especially because the episode's coming tomorrow night. We're not waiting a week and forgetting about what happened. Like, it's going to come right away. And I think it's also kind of like unexpected, and it's very fun, and they built it well as well. Like, yeah, this was not just a random cliffhanger. It felt like this was meaningful. Like, this was high drama.
Yeah. We were only talking about last week at the veto ceremony of like, isn't it weird that you get like 10 minutes of hugging, if to hug every single person in the house. Rachel, could you let us know that is the hugging, are you instructed to hug every single person in the house after the veto ceremony?
No, you're not instructed to do that at all. I just think
it just happens.
That it's obligatory. We all just feel like we need to hug everybody to say, I feel so bad for you. Oh my gosh. Ha ha. That was amazing. You know, we just have to be very, I can't believe that happened to you. Like, this is, but yeah, it's always hugging. Always.
Do you make sure that you hug every person, or is it like, I feel like I've done enough?
I don't remember if I hugged every single person, but I definitely would make sure I hugged the people nominated or backdoored, because that's the most important people.
Yeah, it's like a wedding receiving line. I think that everybody have to like get a hug from every single person as they walk through.
Oh, yes.
Could we turn this into some sort of psychological experiment? Like, do people feel compelled to hug in scenarios like this?
I'm not sure.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That I can't answer.
Do you hug after the nominations? Is that also another hug?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. After ceremonies.
Is it the same length of hug?
And they hug after the eviction too. So it's really like, okay, have a ceremony, have a hug. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so dramatic. I mean, it's so dramatic. So you have to hug everybody so that they know that, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's dramatic.
Yeah.
You have to be dramatized.
Yeah, they don't hug on Survivor.
Oh, very few hugs on Survivor. Yeah, yeah. Maybe everybody stinks too much. That's why.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe just more cutthroat on Survivor.
More cutthroat. Yeah, it's very rare.
I think they'd be embarrassed because like Jeff is watching. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, all right, move on with it. Yeah.
Probably.
There are so many different things to talk about here from today. I guess let's start with the game. Rachel, what did you think of the move to be targeting Christian in this spot for Derek X? Did you think that was the right call?
You know, I don't, it's not good for Derek X's game. That's ultimately what I believe. I think it's a little too early, but when you're given this opportunity to have him not play in the veto competition and be backdoored, you kind of have to take that opportunity, it feels. But after watching, and you know, I'm not as caught up with live feeds and maybe as much of the backing you know, from the live feeds is why he made this decision. But I know, I'm sure with Hannah has been a big role in wanting him to get him out, but you know, I feel like it might be a little bit too early, because on the other hand it seems like the whole house doesn't really care if he goes or not, so I don't know how much backlash he's gonna get other than maybe Alyssa and Xavier.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting scenario, because his closest allies in Hannah and Tiffany and Claire actually don't want the shot to be taken. They actually were like, please don't, we'd prefer Sarah Beth leave, we don't like her, we want her gone. And it was actually Kyland who kind of got in there, and you know, Christian and Alyssa were kind of correct to assume this, and really helped convince Derek that this is the move that he needed to take. But you know, Kyland isn't exactly like the best support system in the house right now. He's not in a really great place. So Derek is pretty much taking this all on himself, and telling his allies like, look, I can't miss this shot. And it's definitely, it's an interesting move, because I think you're right in that it is pretty early. Taking Christian out, being the one to do it, especially when it wasn't a house move, is really setting yourself up to be a target moving forward. But on the other hand, Christian did float the idea of taking out Derek out last week, and he doesn't really have much of a relationship with him, despite some deals that they've made. So it is a tough call, and I think given the information that Derek X has in the game, which is not everything, it's hard to blame him too much for making it, because at some point you'd rather just take the shot first than be Christian and be like, damn it, I should have taken the shot.
Oh, yeah. I'm an idiot. Oh, I'd like to talk about Sarah Beth here tonight, because I feel like that the Sarah Beth story really took a turn tonight, mm-hmm. where Sarah Beth's character came across differently in this episode than she had in any episode previous. We started with the very awkward moment of silence with her and with Derek X. And then we got like a little bit of like a villain turn for Sarah Beth. Rachel, what'd you think about this new Sarah Beth, who's like all too willing and excited to throw Christian under the bus?
Yeah. I mean, that whole thing. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Win the veto and the safety and betray your team. That was
spooky.
Literally. It was terrifying. I saw that clip on Twitter earlier, so a couple days ago, and I was like, Jesus, she done taken a turn. But hey, she's playing cutthroat. She said, listen, you know what? If you got to take Christian out and that means I'm safe, do it, because Sarah Beth would have been out the door. And you know what? If I don't want to go out in week five, and that's exactly what happened to me on my season. So good for her. Like, you know, don't get out before jury. It fucking sucks. So sorry, I don't know if I can use that word. I apologize. Look, but I think that we need a villain. We need somebody to kind of take that role, because, you know, as I've seen, we're not getting a lot of, you know, tension, a lot of clashing going on. And I would like more drama. So if we can get a villain in Sarah Beth and with that voice, I think that's pretty epic. So.
Yeah. You know, Taryn, it's very interesting with Sarah Beth where, you know, that going back to her intro, like she is she's like works like on like crime scenes. Right. And she told us about how that she had never seen Dexter. But this is like getting like very like Dextery, that she has like the very like sweet side of her. And everybody thought like, oh, look at this sweet Sarah Beth. But then like she has like this like a very dark, menacing side.
Are you saying she brings everyone donuts and then moonlights by killing threats in the game?
Yeah. Or anyone. No, yeah. Yeah.
This was definitely a big episode for Sarah Beth, I think. This is like, I feel like she's found her character, at least they found her character on the episode here, on the show.
I don't think she's going to be happy when she sees it.
I don't think she'll mind.
Oh.
I feel like she's a fan of the show. She's ready to come in here and like stab people in the back and break some hearts. I think that's what she would like to do. I think she finds it more difficult in practice than in theory. But I think she's fine with this. I mean, you know, she sang the song. Like there's a reason she sang the song.
I have a question. Why do like, I know why Tiffany doesn't, but like, why does Claire, why do all them not like her?
Her closeness to Kyland has been the primary thing here. So in particular, and they haven't really addressed this on the show yet. I don't know if they will, but Tiffany, Claire, and Sarah Beth made an alliance around week one or two that they called the jackpot. It was the three of them. Sarah Beth told Kyland about it, and Kyland let it slip to Tiffany that he knew about it, which told Tiffany that Sarah Beth had ratted it out to Kyland, which exposed how close they were, and that Sarah Beth was more loyal to Kyland than Tiffany, and that that Kyland was not as close with Tiffany as he was with Sarah Beth, or at least that's how Tiffany took it. And so from there, she set her eyes on Sarah Beth. She started to plant a target on her back, and it sort of spiraled from there. And so Tiffany has incited everyone else to dislike Sarah Beth.
Gotcha. Tiffany, the ringleader. Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't take that much.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, she's come up with theories. Again, we might see some of this in the episodes at some point, but it started with, you know, oh, she ratted out the jackpot and she's close to Kyland, and it has, you know, reached a height of she's in a secret couple with Kyland and they're America's Players, and they're, you know, trying to screw us all over.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Did you have any theories on America's Players in Big Brother 20, Rachel?
You know what? That never even crossed my mind, to be honest with you. I didn't even think there was an America's Player in my season. I don't know why. As a fan, you would have thought maybe I would have thought of that, but I didn't really actually think of that. I just didn't stay long enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. all right. Taryn, anything else that you want to touch on before we talk about the veto draw?
The veto draw. I mean, I liked what we saw, from, again, like the Sarah Beth stuff with Derek X, hearing more from Derek X. We got some Brittany being sad. I felt like this was some good setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good setup. We got to, picking players for the veto competition. Rachel, had you ever noticed, Christian's pants before? Did you catch this during the episode?
No, I didn't notice his pants. Have you seen
these? He has like almost like metallic pants that he wears. Yeah, very shiny metallic pants.
Yes, I saw.
Yeah,
that.
I think I think he has a lot of interesting fashion choices. He's like a fashion model, so I think I just accept it and I don't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I saw that somebody posted his like commercial. It was like a lottery commercial or something.
Yes.
I was laughing so hard. It was so funny. I was like, this is so bad and cheesy, but it's so amazing. So,
yeah. Okay.
Jared
in the chat says they were from one of the wild card comps, the one where he went to the crazy party. So maybe they weren't his fashion choice that he had left over from the comp. Okay.
But it says something about Christian that we felt like it very well could have been his.
Yeah. He's made it work for him. Okay. Derek X picks out Alyssa, Sarah Beth picks Claire, and then Brittany. She didn't want to pick Kyland, but there he was. Kyland is going to be in the power of veto. It was time to get your butt off the block. Rachel, what'd you think of this veto competition?
I was absolutely obsessed with it. I thought it was so cute and funny, and I probably would have won it had I done it. This was so much fun. I mean, we had the whole Derek F up at the top, slow-mo for Kylan. Of course, we had to get that moment. So I was like, of course, here we are, typical. And then, God almighty, the end, the curtain, the big shebang at the end with Brittany. That was so freaking funny. I was laughing so hard. That was the funniest part of the entire episode. She was so excited to win.
You know, Taryn, Brittany really like skated by the skin of her teeth, where there was like three different times where she was like next to last or like and like one away from the person who was eliminated for her to win the veto. This was like a miracle.
This was an amazing competition from start to finish. You know, the way that it played out was great. You got Claire throwing it right away because she's safe. Then Sarah Beth goes out. It was so close. I knew that this was close. Alyssa mentioned that, oh, Hannah skated by the, or Brittany skated by the whole time and then won in the end. But I did not realize how incredibly close it was between Brittany and Sarah Beth. That was like a nail biter. And then, Sarah Beth is eliminated. She has to choose between the veto and $5,000. She makes the no brainer choice, which is $5,000, but Alyssa is upset about it. And we're going to get some drama regarding the prizes and stuff. So we're nailing that one. We're nailing the drama, the closeness of the competition. And then the way that things continue to play out from here, as Brittany continues to just barely make it by, it couldn't have played out better.
Yeah. Rachel, could you talk about the drama with the $5,000? So Sarah Beth, she had the chance to take the veto. She ended up taking or keeping the money instead of the veto. What does that say for a person who's on the block that does not take the veto?
I mean, she was right. I mean, Sarah Beth was right, I feel like, to keep the $5,000. There was no way, shape, or form would she have gotten the veto, in my opinion. So I think that she, you know, her just keeping it. I mean, I don't know what I would have done in that type of situation, but I kind of felt like Alyssa was a little hard on her for that because she wasn't going to get it at the end of the day. And I would rather have $5,000 in my pocket than maybe getting a punishment. So.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing here, Rob, is that just to skip forward a little bit.
Yeah.
The end of this competition, yes. Alyssa is eliminated in second place. And she has a choice between the veto and and a prize. Now, we all know what could be coming here for Christian. She knows it's a possibility at this point. She doesn't think it's going to happen, but she knows it's a possibility. And what does she choose to do, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that in from Alyssa's perspective, she is like trying to like, I don't think it is really on her radar at this point that Christian is going to go up on their block. And again, bad job by her for not being able to suss this out. But I think where she was coming from was, hey, we're trying to save Sarah Beth and she's not even taking the veto. She's leaving us in the competition to win it for her so she could keep the cash.
I mean, she was trying. I mean, she was definitely, she only lost by 1 point. So she, it was clear that she was actually trying in the competition. But like I said, I mean, homegirl wasn't going to get that veto. So take that $5,000 and whoop.
Yeah, it's not like she was like, let me throw this competition so I can get $5,000. Like, exactly. She just lost. Like, yeah. What is she going to do?
Well, how about when Derek X goes to take the $5,000 from Sarah Beth and she says, no, don't do it. Don't take my money.
Yeah, that's not as defensible in terms of, I mean, look, you know, you take your money however you take your money. I mean, this whole game is a game for money.
Yeah.
I personally do not begrudge Sarah Beth this choice. However, this one actually makes sense in terms of having social ramifications in the house because Derek X was pretty upset that he essentially got kind of like, not tricked, but guilted into making a dumb decision in the moment and not taking $5,000.
And having to become the lord of the latrine, which we will talk, about, which was epic. And so a few other punishments that we haven't even gotten to yet, including the Jackass of Clubs and the Claire one? The Duke of the Deck still to come.
Yes.
Maybe we'll see that. But it's going to be a jam-packed episode on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. They're so lucky they got punishments. That was like the one thing. I mean, I did get the yell, but that was the one thing in the house I really, really wanted. Had I done a competition like this, I probably would have happily taken a punishment. I'd have been like, woohoo, I get a costume. Like, I don't know.
The yelling was pretty iconic.
It was. I love it. I love you still have that. But I still wish I would have had a costume. That's the only thing. I wish I had a costume.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it stinks in the moment, but I think it's like something in your big brother, like checklist to say,
exactly.
Like, okay, got a costume, like,
on the checklist.
Yeah. Ideally you want to do it. You don't want to be in a costume every week unless you're a certain house guest, but one isn't bad.
Yes, I agree.
And it's another, like, for what it's worth, there's potentially some kind of America's Vote coming up.
Yes, and which I don't think they promoted it on the episode tonight.
I didn't hear anything, no. So who knows what it is. Maybe it's not going to take place on Thursday night. Maybe it will be a during the week thing. Who knows? Maybe we won't even have a vote. And we're not very specific. But for what it's worth, getting a punishment means probably guaranteed airtime.
Yeah.
And usually good airtime because it's usually pretty funny. And this is great. Derek looks adorable in his Lord of the Latrine costume. He gets to be very funny. We get a segment about Hannah being like, oh, I get to spend time with Derek X. Like, showman's shippers are going to love that. It's great timing for Derek to get this.
Yeah. I really think that Derek X, I think, probably jumps into the top position to be the favorite to win the potentially whatever the vote is that America is going to vote for, assuming it's a give something to like a person you like. Rachel, I think that Derek X, by getting this punishment over the $5,000, I think actually has the best chance to win that.
Yeah. And then he'll definitely be in a vulnerable vulnerable position going into next week with getting out Christian and then all eyes on him. Mm-hmm. So this is going to set him up just like it set Bailey up in my season to get the reward. You know, when Swaggy went home, this is going to set him up fairly well.
Yeah. And Taryn, just in terms of like other people that it could be, Tiffany, who's certainly been a standout this season, didn't really get a lot in this episode tonight. Like, yeah. I feel like that, some others, Kylan, not really prominently featured in the episode.
Kylan's been absent from the show from get-go. I feel like Sarah Beth had a pretty good episode, but I don't know if there's enough history there from the audience. I thought Brittany actually had a very good episode.
Brittany, that's a dark horse. Yeah, because Rachel, that we kept talking about Brittany squeaking through, and then she ultimately gets a chance, and she just went all out to win. The Denialator.
Oh my gosh. She, you know what? I mean, is Brittany a super fan of the show? Taryn?
I think she's a
big fan. She's even like, at least vaguely aware of, like some feed stuff. So, gotcha. Pretty big fan.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, you know what, when you've been nominated three times in that house and you feel like you've kind of just been, you know, screwed over week after week after week, I'm sure for her, it's just like, I know these people underestimate me. I know they don't think that I'm a physical threat. They know nothing about her karate background, I believe, because she hasn't said anything about that. So, you know, good on her. I'm so glad that she won. And that was a pretty hilarious moment. And it was just nice to see her just like bask in that glory of winning after being nominated 3 weeks for 3 weeks.
Yeah. And Azza with the great narration.
Oh my gosh, that lightning. Was so funny. Mm-hmm. She was so funny. That was, she's like, she's one of the best in the diary room, I feel like. She's great.
Heck yeah, man. Ooh, okay, cool.
Yeah. She had a great celebration.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was like, again, like this is just, it's great. I mean, the visual of her performing was amazing. Then she's so overwhelmed, by emotion afterwards. She's so pumped about it. The celebration, the music swelling. It's a really good moment. Because it's hilarious and it's genuinely like touching in a way. Mm-hmm. And it combines all of those elements. It's a great moment in a great episode.
Taryn, from what I understand, Alyssa felt like that her helmet didn't properly fit for this veto competition. I mean, I don't think there was any, it wasn't close. I don't think there was any way she was going to beat Brittany. This was Brittany's competition. Is that a thing?
I mean, she clearly just was not moving her head fast.
Yeah.
I don't know what she wants.
Yeah, Brittany like broke her freaking GoPro camera. Like by the end of it, yeah. It was like bent. Like she was doing it so fast. I mean, homegirl was like, "I am not gonna not win this veto." So
yeah,
she killed it.
Yeah, this was the competition for her. So congratulations to Brittany, who ends up getting the power of veto. All right, we got to the Lord of the Latrine, Rachel. Now,
oh yes.
That did you ever keep track of how many times people are heading to the restroom in the Big Brother house? Is this a thing that normally happens?
You know what? No. We don't normally keep track of people's bowel movements in the house. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine that if I was a house guest and somebody had this punishment, I would be acting like I had to go to the bathroom all the time because I think it's.
Oh,
absolutely...
you think that they were just messing with him?
Oh, 100%. I mean, and even Hannah was like, if I can just spend.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if the diary room told her to say that, which I going back to, sorry, very quickly to the veto competition, when Alyssa said the comment in the diary room about, well, maybe I'll be in a Nicki Minaj video. And I was like, oh God, I was like, somebody in the diary room didn't told her to say that. But anyways, I digress. But what I was going to say, yeah, I just think, I mean, I know Hannah was like, if I could spend any time with him. So I think a lot of them were doing it on purpose. I know I would.
Taryn, do you know where house guests saying like, oh, to go tell Derek X, you have to go to the bathroom again?
I don't think it was like organized like that, but yeah, I mean, people would definitely mess with him here and there.
Yeah. Because Rachel, I feel like that the Big Brother house really does bring this out. Like, I feel like that in the times that I watch feeds, that I find that the house guests are often talking about who's had a bowel movement. Let me get the Metamucil from you when I can. I feel like it's like I feel like I hear people talk about going number two more on the Big Brother live feeds than I do in any other part of my life.
You know. It's the slop too. The slop is just, it makes everybody have the, you know what, you know what I'm saying?
The one and a halfs?
The one and a halfs, the twos, the two and a halfs, the...
Two and a half?
Just made that up.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it makes... It stirs up a lot in the stomach area. So, it's just, it's not good. I know there's just a lot of things going on with the bowel movements. And so sorry, you have to listen to all that.
Yeah. And Big D, Taryn, that he's a private guy. Didn't like that. I gotta say, I wouldn't like it either.
Would you have gone with the same strategy? Just no number twos.
24 hours? Yeah, I think I can hold it. Yeah.
What if you really had to go, Rob?
I mean, if you have to go, you have to go. I mean, there's nothing you could do about that. But you know,
you don't get shy.
I'm saying, I think I would. I think.
I mean, like, would you have trouble if you knew that everyone was watching?
Well, you can be shy, but when it's an emergency, then you know that's it.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I feel like it would be fun. To have somebody announced every time I went to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I'd feel like royalty.
Mm-hmm. Is that what the royals do, Rachel? Do you think that that's like, you feel like that in the monarchy that they have people to announce that?
Yeah. I feel like that definitely happens for sure. Yeah.
Hmm. I feel like I would not want that.
Sit it here on your royal toilet. And use your toilet paper to wipe your things.
Fanny, yeah. the porcelain throne.
The porcelain throne, yes. Yeah. That's how I would say it.
Yeah, Taryn, what was his announcement that he had to make?
That they were sitting upon the porcelain throne, whoever it was.
Was there any sort of penalty if he didn't have the number correct? If he lost track?
They would call him out. There wasn't any like penalties, but if he didn't get anything right, they'd just correct him.
Mm-hmm.
To correct himself.
Rachel, when he has the meltdown about how many people are using the bathroom and how that Kylan has a bladder the size of a penny, that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. I was so happy that this episode, we got a lot more personality, I feel like, than we've gotten in other episodes. The one thing that I've lacked this season, you know, it's been great gameplay, but like, I've wanted to see more characters, more quirky, you know, types of characters, because it feels like it's been really serious. So it was really exciting to see more characters form for this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides Derek X, what other characters are you enjoying watching this season?
I mean, I love Tiffany. I think she is masterful and I think she's great in the diary room. So she's been really cool to watch. Frenchie was really fun to watch. And then I met Frenchie.
Yes, I was going to say. So I saw that you had a run-in with Frenchie. How did that come to be?
Yes. So I posted on Twitter that I was going to be in the Nashville area doing a show, and I wanted some BB alum to come to the show. I reached out to Ovi, Judd got a hold of me, but then apparently something happened with his truck and he left his phone in his truck, so he ended up not being able to come. But then Frenchie was able to come, so yeah, he came and watched my show, and it was nice to meet him. I mean, I know people getting out of the house, it's very difficult for them, you know, and you know, it's just always difficult getting out of the house. So it was cool to just connect with him and talk about his time and just see how he's doing. But
how is he doing outside of the house?
I think he's doing pretty good. I mean, everybody gets their amount of hate. I mean, unfortunately, with the move that he did in the first week and what he said he was going to do and then what he ended up doing, that that caused a lot of people to be angry at him. And unfortunately, because of that, you know, he's gotten hate. But it's just one of those things where, you know, I told him, I'm like, it will die down eventually. I was like, I know it must seem like a lot right now, but eventually it will start to fade. But I mean, you know, you can't, you also can't say you're going to do something and then you don't do it. So right.
He didn't promise you he was going to come to your show and then not come to your show, right?
Exactly. That is very true. Yeah. Yes. He did promise me safety though, if we ever go into the house together. Mm-hmm. So that was really great. Who knows? We might be on a season together. And then I'll be like, hey, remember that time in Nashville at the show when you told me I was safe? Holding you to that.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, now you had a tweet that went viral when you talked about how another Big Brother 23 house guest had reached out to you previously when Brent Champagne had slid into your Instagram DMs. And this was before, really, I think we knew, you know, everywhere where his story was going to ultimately unfold.
Yeah, it was.
Had something cooking in his mental.
Yeah, he apparently was supposed to be on my season. He was very close to being the Brett role on our season. And Brett ended up getting on the show over him. And I believe I was in Foxwoods, Connecticut during that December time in 2018. And I was near him. Mm-hmm. He lived fairly close to Foxwoods Casino. And he just told me, I mean, I posted it. He already called me out for it. He's already messaged me about it.
I bet.
He was like, hey, I hear you calling me out. I was like, I'm not really like calling you out. I was like, you ghosted me anyway. So it's all good.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah.
All right. We're going to start to get back into the game after we get into everything with the Lord of the Latrine. And Derek X is going to pull in Alyssa, Taryn, and he's going to let Alyssa know what's going on. And this starts, I don't know what reaction he was hoping for, but I don't think this is the one that he got.
Yeah, I mean, this was Hannah's idea to sort of give her a heads up so that she didn't feel quite as betrayed, since she is going to be staying this week, assuming that, you know, Christian ends up on the block and going home. So I think the idea is just like, you know, he was trying to give her a heads up, but it wasn't really his idea. And I don't think he fully thought out what it was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't really prepared for the pushback. And Derek X, as we have seen, can be a bit of a people pleaser at times. Yeah. And that just sort of made this drag out a lot more, and it spiraled into what we saw.
Yeah, Rachel, he didn't get from her like, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know. That's
I mean, what was he expecting? I mean, unfortunately, I just don't think he thought out exactly what he was going to say to her. And again, like y'all said, as we saw, it just completely spiraled. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know how to rectify the situation when it was going down, and he just seemed very flustered. So again, I don't know what he was expecting Alyssa to say when you say, I'm going to put up your showmance, because Alyssa is a huge fan of the show. She knows if you put up a very strong male competitor, they're probably going to go home. So she saw the writing on the wall. She's like, I know what's going to happen if Christian goes up. So, mm-hmm.
Taryn, we saw Xavier in the diary rooms in this episode really come out strong against Derek X. Now, I knew that his preference would be for Christian to stay in the house, but I didn't know Xavier felt quite so negative towards Derek X. Do you think was he just sort of like putting this on because he's in the diary room, or this is, you think, how he really feels?
I think this is how he really feels. Yeah. I mean, he's been pretty upset all week long about this whole situation. Pretty upset that he hasn't been able to do anything to stop it from happening. And he has talked about, like, this guy's got to go. I've got to get this guy out. And he's been doing a lot to try and stop this from happening, to try and, you know, reverse it, and to try to put a target on Derek X.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking about shields, though, wouldn't Derek X be a great shield for Xavier? Or has Derek X made it known he's coming after Xavier?
The opposite, actually. Derek X has been trying to pull Xavier in on the advice of Tiffany and Hannah, who are doing a lot of work for Xavier. It's because Derek is like, I'm concerned about Xavier. He seems pissed at me. And they're like, no, he's totally cool. Don't worry about it. And so Derek tries to go to Xavier and he's like, we cool? Can we work together moving forward? Because I would love that. And he genuinely wants to. And Xavier's kind of like, sure. And Derek X goes back to Hannah and Tiffany. He's like, I don't know if X wants to work with me. I just am getting a weird vibe. And they're like, no, seriously. And it's been that on repeat for the last few days.
They putting in work for the cookout. Jeez. Yeah.
Taryn, has the idea of shields ever been talked about so much in Big Brother? I know it gets talked about so much on Survivor, and especially, you know, I've watched so much Survivor this year, but is it just something I'm misremembering in terms of it coming up this much in Big Brother?
Shields, I feel like it's, here's what I think happened. Typically, we're hearing meat shield being used, not just shield, but Frenchie ruined that with Meathead.
Yes.
You can't say meat shield anymore.
Yeah.
Because Meathead is already a thing. I feel like people talk about meat shields all the time. But they don't often say shields in Big Brother. And you know, the shield or meat shield sort of strategy is I think not quite as dominant in Big Brother as it is in Survivor. Because you know, the thought process that Derek has is a decent one. You know, you have to take the shot when you are able to. And the people that are good at competitions can really just wreck their way down to the end if you're not careful. So the idea of keeping in people that are good at competitions as shields, that's great for you if you are Cody Califieri and you have gathered up all of the comp threats into your alliance and you've got your solid control over them. It's not good if you're like, well, this guy's the next best guy at competitions and we kind of have a shaky relationship. Like that's not exactly a shield. However, Xavier has the opportunity to create a good relationship with Derek X here this week. Derek X is looking for it because he's wanting somebody else who's good at competitions to be by his side. But Xavier so far has not been super interested in it because he's not really pleased with the direction that that this game is going.
Something happened very early on between Derek X and Christian, correct?
Yes, that was Frenchie. Frenchie essentially made up the rumor that Derek, he said to Christian, Derek X been saying rumors about you. And then when Alyssa went on the block, he fully used Derek X as a scapegoat for why she went up on the block. It's, Derek X was in my head about you being a showmance and we got to target you. All of it was not true. They eventually found out that all of it was not true, but that wasn't until like over a week later.
Gotcha.
And by then, like the damage had kind of been done. Like they reconciled. They were like, oh, we have no reason to go after each other. But yeah, still, but like, still look, eyeing like I still remember what it was like to think you were my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. That sucks for Derek X.
Rachel, ultimately, Christian is going to get into the loop on what's going on. He's not happy. He tells us that he feels like an idiot. Derek X is a coward. And we have like a king's meeting to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, was it the one in the storage room or the one in the workout room?
I believe this one was in the workout room.
Workout room, yeah. I mean, yeah, they had those that last ditch effort to try and change everything. Christian comes in right at the end and he's like, listen, like you need to put up what it was Derek F. They're saying he could win. And then Sarah Beth sitting there going, I can't say this in front of Alyssa, but I need you to put up Christian because there was no way Sarah Beth was staying over Derek F. So it was very crucial for Sarah Beth to make sure that she had that time afterwards to be like, you know, you need to stick to the plan. You need to go after him. She made sure that she kind of, what is the word? Kind of twisted that knife a little bit deeper into the Kings because she was like, they're going to come after you. You need to do this. But in the diary room, she's saying, I just can't believe he's going, that he's doing this so early. I mean, I expected this, but not this early. But now she's like, okay, let me work this to my advantage. But yeah, that was crazy.
in the meeting with all of the kings, when they turn to Sarah Beth, Taryn, and they say, like, well, Sarah Beth, what do you think? And she's like, well, you just got to do whatever's best for your game, Derek. Like, that was a very awkward moment.
Yeah, and I mean, so some of the context that was left out of this is that Christian and Alyssa had, yes, talked about targeting Derek after Sarah Beth hit the block, and Sarah Beth knew about that, and so she was telling Derek. Also, they had made a plan to flip the vote against Sarah Beth this week, had Big D gone up on the block. Sarah Beth was unaware of this, but Tiffany and Claire knew about it. Tiffany told Hannah. Hannah told Derek, and then Derek in this conversation told her, yeah, they were planning on flipping the vote against you this week. And she's like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. This was even more important that that Christian go up on the block this week. So so yes, Sarah Beth definitely trying to make sure this goes through, and it did not go unnoticed by the kings, who were not very pleased with her.
Okay. We get our setup for the veto ceremony, but we get a little bit of a misdirect here because Christian is going to call an audible, pulls Derek X into the storage room and says, hey, you're going to put me up on the block. There are other people that I'm not going to name names that are not going to vote for you as we go into the jury. I'm your biggest shield. We need to work together. Derek X says, okay, you're making some sense.
I love this. I mean, this is amazing. I've never seen this happen before ever, that the ceremony is called and Derek X is going to the storage room ostensibly to grab the veto box. And Christian's like, nah, I gotta talk to this guy, and goes in there with him and is like, essentially just like, you're not leaving here until I get this out and said to you. This is how you fight to the last second. It's reminiscent of JC. In the meeting, like, no,
like, okay. Yep.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I mean that this is great of Christian. This is great gameplay, to go in there and take that opportunity to, you know, try and convince him one last time before he walks out there that, man, this isn't the right decision to make. And, you know, Taryn, that was really good when you're talking about shields, you know, with Cody, when he built a team around him. I get what Christian was saying, but that definitely makes sense. The difference between shields in this, the definition of shields in this competition. But yeah, just great gameplay on Christian. And we love to see someone fight till the end, because that's what Big Brother's all about. It's fighting till the end, because we want to see everybody fight for their position in that house, because everybody would love to be in that house themselves. I mean, any fan would. So.
Yeah. Taryn, do you feel like that by cutting the episode this way, where we got to see Christian like make the last ditch effort to stay off the block and like really like hanging a lantern on it, do you feel like that, you know, for future seasons, people will come in and fight more, that they see like, oh, I can just like fight up until the last second?
I hope so. I really do. And I hope that production is a little more willing to go outside of their formula a little bit. I mean, without the cliffhanger, they would have had to cut some of the other stuff that was in this episode, and it was all great. Now, the downside is that heading into the next episode, they're going to have to show this ceremony. Yeah. There might be a good episode ahead of us tomorrow as well. I like everything about this in terms of what production did, in terms of what Christian did, and I hope that we see more of it in the future. Okay.
There very well may be a good episode in front of us tomorrow. I'd like to start to bring in the spoilers about the episode. Rachel, is there anything else about the episode itself that you want to mention before we jump into the spoiler portion of our program?
No, I think that we covered it all. It was a great episode, very entertaining, and it was just great.
All right. So, without further ado, all right, we're getting to the spoilers. You don't want to hear spoilers. We're going to talk about what happened with the veto, what's coming next, heading into 24 hours from now. So we've got a doozy of a day coming your way when we talk about the spoilers. But first, let me thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. If you're feeling depressed, if you're struggling with relationships, if you're having difficulty sleeping or meeting your goals, BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and can help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You can get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room or a comfortable waiting room as you would with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Our podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/RJP. Visit betterhelp.com/RJP and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professionals. Here come the live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Oh my God.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Happy birthday! What was tonight, Rachel, right? That they kept showing, like, they had, like, the happy birthday.
Yeah, I know. That just kept happening.
It was very confusing. So weird. At first, I was like, wait, did the whole house just say happy birthday? But then they used, like, that sound effect, like, 3 or 4 different times.
I know. It was weird.
It was like somebody had, like, one of those cards, and you open it up, and it's like, happy birthday.
Yeah.
in a great episode, I feel like that fell a little flat. That felt like somebody was like, this is going to be so funny. But I liked it.
They went for something. Landed. Yeah, they went for something. That's like going to be like Sarah Beth's like Christmas, like sleigh bells every time like she comes in the room. Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay.
All right, Rachel. Boy, we got a lot to work out here today. I know the chat has been all night like hey, when are we doing the spoilers? When are we doing the spoilers? Like, we had a great episode to get through first. All right. Taryn, tell us about, we know that many of us, if you're still here, you likely know Christian ended up going up in the block as Brittany came down. And all week long, we've been looking at a pretty solid vote without too much movement that Christian was going to go home. But what's the latest at this hour?
So Tiffany has always wanted Christian to stay. And prior to the veto ceremony, she was thinking and saying to the cameras, like, you know, prior to the veto competition, at least, she's saying, you know, no matter what happens with this veto, I think I want to flip this vote. I think no matter if Christian goes up or not, I think I want Christian to stay. However, once he went up on the block, and things went down, she agreed with Claire and Hannah they wouldn't do that to Derek X. That would really screw Derek X over. She doesn't want to do that to him. She loves Derek X, and she doesn't want to screw him over like that. However, there's been some drama in the last, from last night heading into this morning and tonight. So this started because Tiffany and Claire have had to go to Christian and Alyssa and essentially say, sorry, we're not really voting for you this week, which is a big blow to their game with Alyssa, who's going to stay in the house because they're supposed to be in a 4-person alliance with them. In the meantime, the Jokers are kind of pretending that they might actually vote for Christian to stay, which is not true. But Brittany really felt like by winning this veto, she's the one sending Christian home and she wants to be a part of this like blind side. And so Tiffany and Claire would really like for the Jokers to admit that they're not voting for Christian to stay so that Tiffany and Claire can be like, sorry, Christian, you don't have the votes anyway, because they need at least one Joker in order to have the votes. You need 5 votes. So Tiffany last night went to the Jokers to politely ask them to be honest with Christian about their vote. Mm-hmm. And very quickly lost the politeness. which Azza, Brittany, and Big D did not appreciate. And so They came into this morning pretty upset with Tiffany. Tiffany said, essentially called them liars and said that it's not fair to her that they're being dishonest and it's putting her in a bad position. And they saw right through what she was doing and saying. And like, she just wants to not be in trouble with Alyssa. Why does she get to be that way? And we have to be the other way. And Big D last night was like, I'm out. I want to go to everyone and say I'm out of the cookout. He wanted to pull a Frenchie. Mm-hmm. Azza had to talk him down. And so all of that tension is bubbling up. And Tiffany is pissed that they're pissed. And she's pissed that they're not doing what she wants them to do. You know, these people, she's been dragging them along in this cookout alliance from her perspective. And she's sacrificing elements of her game in order to get them further in the game because of the cookout alliance. And here they are acting up when she just needs them to do a thing. And she can barely talk to them, Azza, in that room. It's ridiculous. And so she's getting upset about that. And then Christian talks to her, and he executes Plan Z. And he starts talking about, hey, Kylan and SB, they're a pair. They're America's couple. They're going to get money by making jury. And she's like, I know. And she gets really upset. And she starts looking at the chessboard. And Derek comes in, and she's like, Derek, I'm thinking. He's like, what are you thinking? I want Christian to stay. And he's like, that doesn't seem good. And then Xavier gets talking to Xavier, who's like, oh, you're going to save Christian. This is great. And so they make a solid attempt. They're going to try and flip this vote.
Yep. Can I just quick timeout? What just give us this is today now.
This is during the episode.
Right before the episode came on. Okay, I wasn't sure where last night ended and where today started. Okay.
Wow. Yes. So Xavier goes to Big D to try to flip Big D, because here's the thing: Tiffany and Xavier want to flip the vote. That's all well and good, but as we mentioned, they need at least one joker to make this happen, because there are 9 votes. You need 5 to win the day. Tiffany, Claire, Xavier, and Alyssa
need the white
are 4 votes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tiffany approached Claire. Claire's down. This is great for Claire. It'd be great if that's happened. Claire's down. So that's 4 votes. They need one more. They could get it from Hannah, but Hannah would have to screw Derek X over. She does not seem willing to do that, which means they need to get it from... they obviously can't get it from Kylan. He's not going to vote Sarah Beth out. They need to get it from one of the jokers, yeah. Whether it's Big D, Brittany, or Azza. Tiffany thinks she can get it from Brittany. Xavier approaches Big D. Big D, not super into it. Seems like a no-go. He talks to Hannah. Hannah's a no-go. The feeds go down for this. We don't know exactly what happened, but
thinking that it was, they said, hey, we made an episode. Watch our episode. Nobody's getting up from this table until you watch the episode.
Yeah.
But then they turned it on, right?
They did. They turned it back on.
People were furious.
Something that happened here along the lines of Tiffany tried to grab Brittany alone, and Azza and Big D did not let her be alone. They were like, nah, we're staying with Brittany. And a fight occurred. And then, you know, the next time Tiffany and Xavier talk, they're like, it would have worked if not for Xavier, or not for Azza and Big D getting in the way and spoiling our plans, those meddling kids. It seems as though the flip died there. But Tiffany is definitely not fully given up at this point, and has definitely damaged some relationships here, because Derek is now very aware of the fact that she was pushing pretty hard for this. Azza and Big D are even more pissed off. It's just chaos.
This is not good for Tiffany. I saw that clip of her talking to them. And I mean, it's very easy in that house, especially with the role that Tiffany has been playing. I mean, she's been orchestrating a lot of this stuff. And in that house, you can start to get, as we see with HOH itis, we can start to think, maybe, okay, well, I did this, so now I can do this, and I can do this, and it'll be great. Everyone will listen to me. And she doesn't need to get too ahead of herself, because she's playing such a good game. I would hate to see her ruin it all right here.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, imagine being a Christian through all this, because it really was, you know, you were sort of like learning the events of the week where it's like, well, the Jokers are trying to keep you. And it's really, you know, Tiffany and Claire, you've lost their support. And really, like, it's not just that, like, that, like, that part of the house flipped. It's almost like that the two sides, like, have sort of, like, switched opinions almost. It's like a rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, where that now, so Tiffany and Claire, you know, now they want to go after Sarah Beth. And the Jokers are saying, like, no, Christian has to go.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's the relationship there is deteriorating rapidly. This could have spelled the end for the cookout. There are, you know, Xavier's trying to hold it together. Hannah's trying to hold it together. But this is not great. Kylan, I believe, is already somewhat aware that there was something that happened and that Tiffany seems to be at the head of it. And, you know, he was already talking to Azza last night about how, you know, how much he doesn't trust her, essentially. Things are looking pretty shaky right now in the house. And this upcoming HOH will be pretty big. I still do not expect Christian to stay in this game. Tiffany wants to make it happen. But again, the path there is very difficult. I think if she had done this a couple of days ago, if she had decided a couple of days ago that she wanted this to happen, she probably could have made it happen. At this point, it's just, I don't think Azza will do what Tiffany does. Mm-hmm. Just out of principle. Like, she's not doing a flip if Tiffany's on that side. And she's been very firm. Big D's been very firm. Brittany's been very firm. And Hannah really doesn't want to screw Derek X over, and also does see some value in getting rid of Christian. So
Taryn, I do think that the wild card still in all this is Xavier, who does have the better relationship with Big D, is the possessor of the middle school crush from Azza, and also does want to screw over Derek X. That I kind of feel like that Tiffany needs to take a back seat and let Xavier try to close this sale.
I agree. And honestly, I think that Big D is their best bet. And Xavier did try, but he was resistant. But Big D, there's a lot of reason for Big D to pull something here. We know that he's willing to cast rogue votes. We know that he's willing to do whatever he wants to do. He wants women out and men to stay. He does want Sarah Beth out next week. So there's a lot of, like, I think that's the path. I think you try to pull Big D and get him to vote with you, even if it's secretly. Even propose, will you secretly vote with us and cause a whole house flip with your rogue
he
vote?
He likes chaos.
I think Big D would be like, ooh,
yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, no, pull a season 20 and blame it on somebody else. Like, mm-hmm. That's why somebody asked me on Twitter, they said, why can't these people seem to execute blindsides? And I said, because, you know, Tyler, everybody was able to pawn off the blame onto somebody else. They didn't have to take the full blame. So if you can pawn off this rogue vote on somebody else, freaking do it. We need a blindside. Like, we need a blindside this season, I swear to God.
Rachel, could you imagine that if it all comes down to, you know, it's all right, it's four votes for Christian, four votes for Sarah Beth. Here comes Derek F. The deciding vote. Is he casting a hinky vote? Can he say the right name to vote?
You know what? I actually forgot what my opening line in this entire podcast was going to be. And it was going to be, I'm so e-voting happy to voting be here right now. So yeah, no,
deciding a vote tomorrow.
Yeah. I e-vote Christian. I would love for him to vote Christian. I would love for him to vote Sarah Beth. I want a blindside. Let's bring it. We need a blindside tomorrow.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know what? And I don't know if y'all saw this, but apparently this is not on purpose. Like, he's not saying a voting on purpose.
He definitely has trouble saying certain words.
Oh, and I said on the episode tonight, he said something. He said, getting on my last nerves. Yeah. Like something. So that was getting on my last nerves.
Taryn, is Christian aware of like all of the latest maneuverings? Like, is he sort of like twisting in the wind with all this?
Yes, I believe so. I believe I saw that Xavier had gone to Christian and was like, oh, we were real close. And Xavier's like, and Christian was like, do I need to go talk to somebody? He's like, probably best not to.
No.
Yeah. So I think that he knows that, that progress was made, but that it's not locked in yet. Again, Xavier though, at this time seems to have backed off and given up. I don't know if he intends to go back at it. Tiffany has also conceded, but in a different kind of way. Tiffany has given up in the way that you're like, okay, yeah, I'm not doing it. I mean, right. It would make a lot of sense if we did it, but I'm not going to do it. And then you're like, yeah. And then because of this reason, we couldn't do it. Well, no, that reason doesn't make any sense, but no, we're not going to do it. So, you know, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Rachel, I don't think that Tiffany has ever forgotten any argument she's ever been in her life.
No, I definitely don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember that moment in one of the episodes when I guess Kylan and Sarah Beth were in a huddle and yes. They didn't say good morning to her. I was like, that was probably my first time where I was like, I hope that this doesn't get her in trouble, you know, later down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to be very, very fun. Don't forget, we still have America is getting a power. We still have a new HOH who is going to come in on Thursday night. Taryn, do we have any sort of theories about what the next HOH competition could be? Because, again, no wild card competition. So you would imagine, especially if we're setting up a jam-packed Thursday night episode, I would not imagine that we are getting. I mean, we did the endurance comp last week, but I suspect that we're going to have something that is going to spill over into Sunday, whether it's like counting things in the backyard. But I think that this is going to be something where we're not going to find the HOH winner out in the Thursday night episode.
It's definitely possible. And it could be why maybe they had planned on doing a cliffhanger this week for that very purpose. And it really just timed out well. And they aren't going to show us, although I don't think it's impossible that we do still see it. Given that there is going to be some kind of twist this week, they could dedicate the Sunday episode True. To whatever twist that is. Maybe it will be a competition of some sort. I would say we can't really know for sure at this time. People are suspecting probably some kind of quiz or mental competition. They've been doing some physical ones.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
I think it could be a luck competition. I always refer back to my season, but it's the only thing I can do truly remember what the competitions were. But we had the wall competition the fourth week, and then we had the week I was evicted, it was a mental competition. So It could be mental or it could be mental or luck.
Yeah.
Probably mental.
Knockout would be wild.
Right, because you know, they are expecting a double eviction soon. If that is the case, they would probably save the quiz HOH for the double, if there was one coming up. So that could also maybe give us a hint at what's coming up with regards to potential double eviction.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's take some questions here with Rachel. All right. This is a question from Chris Alberti. Wants to know, Rachel, what do you think about this season's alliances? It's definitely a different structure from your season where, you know, it was so much a divided house and so much like a openly divided house.
Yeah, I mean, I always am so, you know, again, yeah, because my season was so, you know, it was level six and it was Faute. So there was no of these inner workings of the royal flush, of the jackpot, of all these little random ones that I can't imagine keeping my head straight with all of them. That would be absolutely so confusing, but it's entertaining. I think these are, the cookout, their strategy is so on point and a little bit reminiscent of level six, because, you know, we always wanted to make sure we had somebody, or we knew we had somebody in our back pocket, or, you know, Sam and JC were in our back pockets, but we always wanted to make sure that we had the votes. And we wanted to make sure that if it was ever us on the block with somebody else, it was the other person going home. So a little reminiscent of that, but I really love the strategy this year. Like I said, I think this is one of the smartest casts we've had in a very long time, especially with all their professions. I mean, I remember the first episode when, you know, lawyers and forensics and this and that. And I'm like, Jesus, I was Vegas entertainer. Like, I mean, not downplaying what I do, but you know, it's just, we're getting a lot of smart individuals in this house. So yeah, the strategy and the gameplay and alliances have been top notch this season for sure.
Okay. Let's take a question from Christy, $75 cameo. On a scale of 1 to 10, what are the odds that the cookout stays together after this week? Taryn, what would you say? I mean, that define stay together, I guess, first.
Yeah, I mean, stay together in that are they directly coming after each other? I would say unlikely. Would they let an ally go after another one of them? More likely. I think that the odds are actually pretty good that they stay together. Probably like out of 10, maybe like a 7. You know, 3 being that they break up as early as next week is considerably higher than it was prior to today.
I don't even know what that looks like. Is it like, Derek F wins HOH and puts Tiffany on the block? Like, I mean, that sure, yeah. I could see that. But if it's like, you know, is it a matter of like letting somebody like go up and like, you know, like could somebody be collateral damage?
Yes. You know, for instance, you know, if Brittany wins, you know, she could do something a little wonky. Given all of the tension with Tiffany this week, I could see Azza and Big D not only kind of being like, ooh, whoops, but actively being like, Brittany, what do you think about Tiffany? Aren't you pretty upset about what she did before? Mm-hmm. And trying to get that shot in. I don't think that's impossible.
Jury. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. How about Scott? Let's skip this one. How about Rob is still Taryn's dad wants to know, will Tiffany try to influence every eviction to go in her favor, be her downfall? You know, Rachel, let me get your opinion on this. Do you think that Tiffany is on a good trajectory, or do you feel like that maybe she's not going to get all the way to the end?
You know, I mean, this week has not been her best week. She has been playing such an amazing game. And as Taryn said, I mean, you can't push people to do what you want them to do. You have to make them feel like it's their idea or they came up with it. And as we've seen, she's done a very good job of that. It's just, you know, when it comes to this situation, as much as you want, you know, you want somebody to do what you want them to do, you can't. You have to treat it with kindness and care and kind of package it in a little with a little bow and say, you know, just I would really like for you to do this. You just make it more sincere instead of, I guess, more of attacking. So you just want to make sure that you kind of package it in that little bow and you make sure that, you know, either they think it's their idea or this is the best move for their game.
Taryn, personally, I'm so excited to watch Tiffany go to work. I love that she's messy. I love watching her get to play, and like I like to see some turbulence.
Yeah, and honestly, like when it comes to like her trying to influence every HOH, every eviction, I don't think that's bad. In fact, I think that's great. It's one of the reasons why she has the most influence in the house. I think that what could cost her is that with that influence this week, she's pushed in both directions. Like, you have to choose one. You can't go, yes, yes, yes. Wait, no, over here. No, back over here. No, wait, but over here. Nope. Oh, over here. Like, that's what screws you over. That's what's fun about Tiffany. As you said, Rob, I mean, that's what makes her compelling because, like many before her that have been very good at this game, she is flawed and she's flawed in a very, compelling way.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, also, Tiffany is so talented also that we've seen her do various impressions of the house guests. We've seen her do impressions of Frenchie, Brent, Whitney. What have you made of her skills as an impressionist?
10 out of 10 for sure. She is so freaking hilarious. I love her impressions. You know, it's been very difficult for me this season to find people to do impressions of. I feel like it's been difficult for me to like really get into doing impressions for people. So I'm glad Tiffany has been, I've passed the crown over to her and she's kind of taken that from me. So she's hilarious. I especially loved her Frenchie. That was pretty awesome. I thought about doing a whole Frenchie spoof and then I ended up not doing it.
What was the premise going to be?
The premise was just going to be, hey y'all, my name's Frenchie and this is baby 23 according to me.
And you're gonna be dressed as Frenchie in a costume.
Yeah, because thankfully my boyfriend wears a lot of overalls, so yes. He has plenty. And I was gonna be like, here in the baby 23 house, according to Frenchie, we put everybody on we promise everybody safety, mm-hmm. even if we can't do it because I'm Frenchie.
And then was this when you were with the real Frenchie and then he was going to come out like, what in the daggone hell is this supposed to be?
I think he would have appreciated it. I had the whole plan. The problem was with me. Sometimes I'll think of something I want to do. And then I end up not doing it. But that Frenchie was probably my best bet for the best spoof of the season, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Taryn, what are you going to be watching for overnight?
Really this whole Derek, Big D and Azza situation with Tiffany and where this goes, because I think Tiffany is just looking for an excuse to turn on them. And given what they've been saying, and they have said it to Xavier, who has not relayed it yet to Tiffany, that could really be what causes the splinter here. She right now feels like they're mad at her, but that they won't come after her because of the cookout, just like she wouldn't come after them. But that is not really the case. And if she finds that out, I think she will be very pleased to set the cookout aside and move forward with some different plans.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree.
Very exciting. Rachel, did you happen to check out the Big Brother boxing event this weekend to see any of your former castmates in the boxing ring?
I did not, unfortunately, because that's when I met Frenchie in Nashville. I watched a couple of clips online. So, and I saw a bunch of Instagram stories. I was supposed to go. I was invited to go.
Yes.
But unfortunately I was not able to make it, but God almighty, I wish I was there. I probably wouldn't be able, I probably would still be drunk though right mm-hmm. now if I had gone to that event.
Rachel,
it just would have been a shit show.
Is there anybody from Big Brother Canada tonight that you would like to call out, that you would like to face in the boxing ring?
Maybe Paris.
Ooh.
Okay.
I think that could be a pretty fierce fight.
Make it happen.
Let's go. Let's go, okay. Paris. Where you at?
Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, did you hear about Angie Rockstar's training regimen?
I've seen some stuff online.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, I got to give it to that girl because you know what? I'm sure she went into that fight feeling like she had a lot to prove, you know, coming off of, from season 20, she's like, I got to prove myself right now, and she kept telling us in the house, she was the one that kept telling, she's like, I have all this baby weight on, like, this is not how I normally look, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she had something to prove and, she looks great.
Yeah, this is what she said.
Oh, I sex in 2 months because they put me on sex restrictions. And that is how serious I've taken it. And y'all know I'm a slut.
Yeah, she has a very serious training regimen.
Okay. Well, you know what? Good for her. She said, and y'all know I'm a slut.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. Hey, that is pretty hilarious, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right.
I love your sound bits. Oh my God, they're so funny.
All right. Rachel, anything else BB23 that you want to talk about?
I have one thing.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't give you the impressions that you maybe were hoping for.
Don't force it if you don't have it.
Like I said, I'm not gonna lie. It's been a little bit of a difficult season to get the inspiration. I mean, nothing beats Christy. Nothing will ever beat Christy. And yeah, we need another Christy. But I did create a rap in honor of the fact that we don't get Britney on the block this week to give us her rap. So I have prepared a rap for everybody.
Okay. All right, here, let me put you in the center screen.
I also, could you give me a beat? Come on, everybody, it's time to break it down. BB23 is locked in the house. Best season since 20. It might just take the crown. On second thought, let's shut that down. We got brains, booty strapped, Adidas to blow your mommy's kids. Came here to play. No season 19, am I right? 23 will chase the game and pave the way for all the rest. So grab some pop and take a seat, because we about to get fed.
Yes.
That's my, there's my rap.
Amazing.
I couldn't get my my breath in there at the last time, but yeah, we about to get fed. That's my last.
I feel like Rob let you down, but you you killed it.
Sorry.
No, it was no. We're fine.
Yeah,
we're
man. Oh, okay, cool.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't have my impromptu beatbox ready to go.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I hope everybody enjoys that.
Yeah. So
you and Britney postseason gonna lay some tracks down.
Collaborate.
Maybe instead of a boxing match, you'll just start a rap battle with Enzo.
Like 8 Mile.
Yeah, I would love to get some 8 Mile up in this. Me, Enzo, Britney, we would freaking take the crown. I mean, I would take the crown. Actually, mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I'm really bad at improv when it comes to rapping. I have to write it all down, but I have to take my notes. But I did make this in like probably 5 minutes.
Wow. The chat is loving it. Tony says, best rap done by Rachel on this podcast this season. Yes.
Best rap done by Rachel. Done by a Rachel.
Definitely true.
I'm glad I've taken the crown for the Rachels of the podcast.
Rachel Riley, where you at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you at, Rachel? You're next.
All right, Tara. Anything else you want to highlight before we start to wrap up?
No, I think we're good. I mean, what a great night of Big Brother here. Great episode. The feeds are going all over the place. We got Rachel on the podcast. what more can you ask for?
Okay. It's still a great night, and it should be an exciting 24 hours as we head into the eviction. Will their house flip? We'll find out tomorrow night when we will be live. Taryn, Melissa Denny, and AJ Norris, the Kid Norris, is going to join us on Thursday night to talk about everything going on with Big Brother 23. Of course, tomorrow morning, Lita is going to be back on the live feed update to talk about what should be a busy Wednesday, Taryn.
Yep, we got a lot to go through. So if you want to hear more about what's going on here today on the live feeds, make sure you tune in tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great season because, I'm back on the East Coast here, and like I wake up in the morning and it's like I'm getting updates of what's going on in the house, like when I wake up in the morning on the East Coast. So it's a late night house this season.
Yeah. Last night, like upwards of 8 a.m. Eastern, they were still going.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's partly because they were waking up Kylan to make sandwiches.
I see.
We still got to see 2 more punishments tomorrow night. Of course, if you missed it last night, check out the Stock Watch on the weekly roundtable with Taryn, Melissa, and Aman was back this week to check out that show to get the lay of the land going into this week of Big Brother. Of course, on Fridays, we'll have a new HOH, and Taryn Armstrong and I will talk to the patrons of Robin's Podcast, take your calls on what should be a busy Friday that we expect after whoever wins the HOH on Thursday night. Taryn, everybody's going for this one, right?
They should be. There have been people who've been talking about throwing it, but I don't believe that they will. I think everyone's going to be going for it here.
Okay, that's for the patrons of Rob's Podcast. That's coming up on Friday. We'll also have our exit interview with whoever gets evicted from the house on Friday. And, of course, our patron-only show, The Slop, on Monday night. Boy, we broke down everything from the Big Brother boxing match with Puya Zanvakili. We also talked about, Rachel, did you happen to see any of the FCC see complaints made about Big Brother that Andy Denhart from Reality Blurred had found?
No, I did not.
Yes, many complaints about from the to the FCC about Big Brother. He filed a freedom of information like a letter that they had to tell him about all of the FCC complaints about Big Brother. It turns out that when Sam described curb stomping, somebody complained to the FCC about that.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? We talked about that and Big Brother Boxing when Matt and Mari from the Wrestling Wrap Up joined us, and our own tag team that was on the scene, Jacob Jones and Chappelle, also joined us on this week's edition of The Slop, where I would think I was crying by the end of it. I was laughing so hard on this week's wrap up of The Slop in the Patreon podcast feed. Then last night, Chappelle was back with Jason Reed to talk about Survivor, David versus Goliath. We went a Goliath-sized podcast to talk about the sixth best season of Survivor. Check that out at robhasawebsite.com. Oh, and look at this. Great Ray Sani joined Kirsten McInnes and Jenny Autumn to talk about F-Boy Island. Taryn, are you watching F-Boy Island?
You know, it's right up my alley, but I have not had time for it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Big D would rather be watching F-Boy Kylan.
Yes.
This was a very funny podcast. Ray is a TV writer, stand-up comedian. You don't want to miss what she has to say about F-Boy Island on HBO Max. Rachel, have you checked that out?
I haven't. I've been meaning to, but I've been so busy watching Love After Lockup. And
oh yeah, that's a good one too.
I am obsessed with Love After Lockup. I can't even take it.
Yeah. Okay. And then a very happy anniversary to the Purple Pants badass, Bryce Isaiah. 2-year anniversary of the Purple Pants podcast. Check out what Bryce has in store on a jam-packed 2-year anniversary edition of the Purple Pants podcast. It's a 2-year anniversary for Bryce. And of course, check out this week on 90 Day Fiance, Happily Ever After. That's my guilty pleasure, Rachel. Mm. 90 Day Fiance.
I like 90 Day too, though.
Yes.
Like
Puya and Liana talked about the season finale, setting us up for this weekend's tell-all in the 90 Day Fiance wrap-up feed. Okay. And then, of course, the Patreon podcast feed jam-packed. We'll have another Patreon feedback show talking about David versus Goliath, The Slop, BBQ&A. I also got to get a Patreon 5 for $5 in there with the First Lady of Podcasting. That's all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Check out everything from our sponsors at robhasawebsite.com/offers. Be sure to subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button and get that bell to be notified when we go live. And of course, follow us on social media. We have so much going on our Instagram page, especially at RHAP Grams, where we have so many takeovers by the hosts of Rob is a Podcast or at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter. All right, Rachel, thank you for sticking with us through all that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I loved every second of it.
You did?
I did. I loved
yes.
it.
Yes. Which was your favorite plug?
Probably the Purple Pants podcast.
Yes. Yes. Bryce does an incredible job. Yeah. It's been, I can't believe how fast the 2 years has gone by, but at the same time, these last 2 years have also felt like 30 years.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's been,
I don't need to tell you. Yeah.
You don't need to tell me. My industry has been down for like 2 years. So
Rachel, so, where can we keep track of what you're doing?
Well, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Rachel Swindler.
Yeah, what do you do on TikTok? I saw in the chat, is it Rachel is the best TikToker ever?
Well, I was actually doing really good at TikTok like last year, but then I kind of fell off of it this year, just like other stuff I was doing. But I just do a lot of impressions and a lot of like TikTok songs I can't get out of my head. That was what kind of made me go viral was mm-hmm. I was impersonating TikTok songs.
Oh,
but that was kind of the thing that would make me go viral. And then I've done a couple of stuff, where I'll make up songs that go like this one girl, she has like a song and you have to, whatever. I can't explain it. Anyways, just go look at my TikTok at Rachel Swindler.
At Rachel Swindler on TikTok. Okay.
And then, on Instagram and then Rachie Swin on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Rachel, it's always a pleasure when you join us on the podcast.
Thanks. I love being here with you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I was streaming during tonight's episode and also keeping an eye on the feeds, and it was pretty hectic, but pretty fun. So make sure you come and check it out. Tomorrow will be a very interesting episode to watch, and I'll be reacting live. You can I will also be streaming, of course, about the stock watch tomorrow. Lots of potential things that could change.
Here's my hope for tomorrow, Taryn, that the feeds go down. People don't know who's going out, and everybody has to put their stockwatch picks in. Uh-oh, somebody's getting effed like I did when Sam was supposed to stay in Big Brother 21, and then he went home, and I lost all my money.
You went risky. You went for it all, Rob.
I went all in because I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of the market because he got marked low because he was going to leave, and then the house flipped, and then he ended up going out, and I was busted.
Yeah, you got to be careful. That's why you got to watch the stream.
Yeah.
So you know. So check it out. twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can also find me, of course, on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. And then, yeah, tomorrow and the next day, be doing all the things.
All the things.
All the things. That's right. That's what you do.
Taryn.
That's what you're known for.
Mr. Robot Taryn, he always makes me laugh every time I'm on here.
Yeah.
He just...
Yeah, there's so many characters.
That whole handle. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
All right.
It's so funny. Shout out Mr. Robot Taryn.
Shout out Mr. Robot Taryn, always. Okay, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It's going to be a busy Thursday. Talking Big Brother. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.